A reading from the book of the prophet Joel. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing. Offerings and libations for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Proclaim a fast. Call an assembly. Gather the people. Notify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. The word of the Lord.
Transgressions, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done.
Be merciful, O Lord.
Steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Joy of your salvation, sustain in me a willing spirit. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, We are ambassadors for Christ. As if God were appealing through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together, then, we appeal to you, not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to be fasting except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." Verbum Domini.
Today we begin with the 40-day penitential season of Lent, and the Catechism teaches that during Lent, the Church unites herself each year to the mystery of Jesus in the desert. Jesus had entered the desert prior to initiating his public ministry and dedicated himself entirely to prayer and fasting. At the end of this period of 40 days, he was subjected to three temptations of the devil. Although the Lord had been physically weakened by fasting, he was spiritually strengthened to resist the devil's temptations. And thus, as we begin this season of Lent, and as we engage in the three forms of penance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, it would be helpful to recall the mystery of Jesus in the desert and imagine ourselves as praying and fasting alongside him. This liturgical season is not only a universal call to penance, but also a reminder of the great mercy of our God. Despite the myriad ways we have offended the Lord by our sins, he shows us his mercy time and again. On Ash Wednesday, we receive the sign of ashes on our heads, as the priest or the deacon reminds us to repent and believe in the gospel, or says, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." While the Lord is indeed merciful, our time on this earth is limited. We must not take this time for granted, since we do not know the day or the hour when we will return to the dust from where we came. The Lord's mercy knows no bounds and is freely given to us. However, our salvation will never be complete unless we cooperate with the Lord's work of salvation. His mercy is without effect in a soul that remains unrepentant, and in a heart that has been hardened by repeated sin that is committed knowingly and willingly. We cannot receive God's mercy if our hearts and minds are closed off to the Lord. And so long as we prefer our own selfishness, our sinfulness, our egoism, our pride, bitterness, vitriol, greed, envy, lust, slothfulness, gluttony, or any of the other evils, the Lord's grace cannot penetrate our hearts and fill them with the light of his love. And the first reading from the prophet Joel encourages us to return to the Lord with our whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. He then exhorts us to rend your hearts, not your garments. In ancient Israel, people would sometimes tear their garments as an expression of sorrow, grief, anguish, or remorse. During the trial of Jesus, the high priest Caiaphas tears his garments when he hears Jesus utter what he thinks is blasphemy. In doing so, he expresses his anguish and his anger towards this perceived sin. However, in the case of Caiaphas, his rending of garments is merely a performative gesture. He had maliciously intended to find cause to have Jesus put to death, and saw Jesus' testimony as an opportunity to accomplish his goal. And people often perform external gestures as an expression of their feelings and emotions. We make the sign of the cross at the beginning of Mass as a reminder of our love of God and that we gather for Mass in the name of the Blessed Trinity. We beat our chests during the penitential rites as we recite the Confiteor to express contrition for our sins. And these external signs can be helpful reminders of our need of repentance, conversion, and healing. However, if we perform these outward gestures without the interior disposition to follow through with the work of repentance and conversion, then these signs are meaningless. During today's Mass, we will all receive ashes on our heads as an expression of our grief and sorrow for our sins, and as a reminder of our own fragile mortality. We should not allow our reception of ashes to remain an empty gesture. As the Catechism teaches in paragraph 1430, Jesus' call to conversion and penance, like that of the prophets before him, does not aim first at outward works, sackcloth and ashes, fasting and mortification, but at the conversion of the heart, interior conversion. Without this, such penances remain sterile and false. However, interior conversion urges expression in visible signs, gestures, and works of penance. In other words, as we receive ashes on our heads, we should examine ourselves and ensure that we are receiving them with the right intention. Do we merely wish to virtue signal to others that we are holy and pious Catholics? Do we wish to show off our ashes to our family, friends, or coworkers, or glorify ourselves with a selfie posted on social media? Or are we truly sorry for our sins, individually and collectively? And are we willing to begin this season of Lent with the proper disposition and intention? Sometimes Lent is treated as a season for self-help or self-improvement, and people might use the season to begin a new diet or to give something up for a 40-day period before returning to the very thing that they gave up. However, these are things that people can do anytime throughout the year. We don't need the season of Lent to do these things. We do not have to wait for Lent to begin a new diet or exercise program. This approach to Lent not only misses the reason for this season, but it also disconnects it from the mystery of Jesus in the desert. This season is a time of a more intense spiritual preparation through bodily mortification. And we offer penances of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, not merely for the sake of self-improvement, but to fortify ourselves against the wiles and snares of the devil and the temptations of the flesh. When we regularly engage in works of penance with the right intention and according to our abilities and our state in life, we strengthen ourselves against temptation. And this time of fasting is a wonderful opportunity to detach ourselves from the pleasures of the flesh and from enslavement to our sensual appetites, so that we might be more open and attentive to the Word of God. As Jesus says to the devil in the desert, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We fast from material bread so that we might be nourished by spiritual bread, the Word of God. Repentance is not simply a one-time action, but requires sustained effort throughout our lives. The Catechism teaches in paragraph 1431, interior repentance is a radical reorientation of our whole life, a return, a conversion to God with all our heart, an end of sin, a turning away from evil, with repugnance toward the evil actions we have committed. At the same time, it entails the desire and resolution to change one's life with hope in God's mercy and trust in the help of his grace. And notice that the Catechism describes repentance in two main parts. The first part is turning away from sin and showing repugnance for the evil that we have done. Sometimes people come to confession and feel like they have to confess sins that they have already confessed before because they feel bad about them. And while this is understandable, it is not necessary to confess sins again that were already properly confessed. You know, they have been forgiven in the sacrament of confession. However, there is nothing necessarily wrong with feeling bad about the sins that we have committed in the past, even if we have already confessed them. In fact, we should still feel bad about them so that we might continue to reject them in the future. You know, but you just don't want to be fixated on them. But these sins that have been forgiven should not lead us to despair of our salvation. We should always remember God's grace and allow the horror of our past sins to inspire us to do more works of penance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, while trusting in God's mercy. And as we begin our Lenten journey, may we all maintain a healthy disposition towards penance, recognize our own sinfulness in the light of God's love and mercy, and cooperate with the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit by detaching from material excess and from bodily pleasures, whether licit or illicit, and by offering penance from a humble and contrite heart. We pray that we might not merely perform external works of piety to be seen and praised by others, but for the sake of our conversion and salvation. The Lord knows our hearts and can see the good things we intend to accomplish with the help of his grace. And as Jesus says in today's gospel reading, "And your Father who sees in secret will repay you."